Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast of amazing, outrageous, often hilarious, often shocking, but always unusual, and most definitely true weird stories told by the people who lived them, who experienced them, who went through the whole thing there on their own and have come out the other side and decided to sit down with these two handsome gentlemen, one named Mr. Barry Johnson, the smiling sensei over there. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Professor. How are you, sir?
I am fine, and I am the other gentleman. We are your host, Adam Beebe. Hello, me.
Seamless.
Yes. This is what happens. It's always off the cuff, and sometimes it's really off the cuff. So,
how are you, man? Hey, so we went through our own thing here today with the old eclipse. And got to see from our vantage point, we had pretty good coverage, not total, but like pretty darn close. And my wife was in Dallas and they got the total eclipse, which was, wow. She said was awesome. She said it got dark for like 3 minutes. She was like, yeah. It went from like, you know, daytime, afternoon to dark. And she loved it. She thought it was so cool. She sent me a video and it was fucking rad, man. Did you get to see it yourself?
I did, and of course we're talking about, well, it'll be yesterday now whenever this goes out on the day of recording. This is actually, it was the day of the eclipse, 2024. I did get to see part of it. I didn't get to see the totality of it. Yeah. I got a good chunk of it, and it got pretty dark for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't have the glasses. I was looking up through my camera on my phone and taking pictures, and I've got a couple of really neat ones. And I was doing that throughout the day because I didn't know exactly when it was going to occur.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, I guess I missed it because I drove a little bit south. I was working south of the path area.
Oh, okay.
I thought.
Yeah.
If I'd been at my house, I'd probably been a lot better.
Yeah. What time? What time was that for you?
It was roughly, I think it was like around 3 o'clock, maybe a little before.
That makes sense, man. Yeah.
Let me check my.
It hit us at 1:42. That was the peak, or 1:45, somewhere around in there. So that's about right. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it was around 3 o'clock because then, okay, as we were, we all of a sudden our little our text group. Our podcast tech group started blowing up, and I'm like, here's a picture I literally just took, man.
That's so cool.
It was really cool, dude.
You know, because that has never happened before. We, you know, the last eclipse, at least, I didn't have anything like that. Friend group, because I got a couple of friend groups, and it's so cool. We're experiencing something like that for, you know, together, even though we're so far apart. And like I got texts from a buddy of mine in California. They just got a little bit, man. They maybe 30% or something like that. Not much. It's just cool. And it really, days like today, man, like I was talking to my work partner, and days like today make you feel small, and they make you take in the vastness of what we're a part of. You know, I was listening to a scientist talk about, he said one of the great anomalies is that our sun is so big, but at the perfect distance that it and the moon appear to be the same size, you know? And that's what makes the eclipse happen. And and the fact that we live in a space where that science, that measurement just happens to work out, man, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, dude, it really is. The mechanics of the universe are just phenomenal because, you know, you would think that these planets and these things, and they do crash together sometimes, but just the sheer, you know, I don't know, coincidence, I guess, just the sheer wonder of it, the fact that
exactly, dude,
the moon perfectly fits over the sun so that we can have this eclipse.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, it's wild, man. It is. It's weird, you know? I mean, you know, it's, but it is that kind of an event that makes you realize that, the events on this world, are really just so utterly ridiculous on the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I mean, you know, it's like if we got really concerned about what was happening inside of a, an anthill,
right,
or you know, a beehive,
absolutely,
you know, and everybody in that system of that, you know, then is obsessed and preoccupied with what making that system run and making that environment run, but there's so much other things going on, and it's just a smallest part of
a
creation, you know, and there's all of the rest of the universe literally.
Yeah,
and,
That's beautifully said. You know, I think that we are so our brains are wired in such a way where we can't take in the vastness all the time. It's almost too much sensory overload.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, you know, I think it's important that when we have these events happen in our lives like that, that are, you know, probes into the human consciousness and where we're at in the world, those are important things to always think about, even if we only think about them a few times of the year or whatever, you know. So
It really, really is. I agree. It's really important to have an appreciation of scale so that you can realize, you can simply realize, you know, that, you know, one, we aren't the center of the universe. We're just a part of it. You
right.
know?
Absolutely.
We're, you know, this planet is we're a trailer park off somewhere, you know, we're, you know, people, you know, we are not, and I'm not trying to be disparaging against trailer parks, but I'm just saying we're not part of a big, you know, galactic neighborhood where we have a lot of communities. You know, we're just off on our own, a subdivision. Maybe that would.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely. What I'm saying.
But, you know, we are part of a much, much, much bigger thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we're just so wrapped up in it because we can't escape it. Just
Absolutely.
Can't get out of it yet. And, you know, that's one of the things that, like, you know, we got these guys like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos who are trying to, you know, trying to get off the planet, trying to, you know, push to, you know, get man to explore the stars. But, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not due to lack of funds. They just need to keep. They need to push harder and put more into it.
Yeah, because
the governments aren't going to be doing it at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
So we've got to get be the Earth hero that you, you know, the planetary hero and get us off the planet.
In a way, it takes that type of a personality to push like that something like that through. And it's like, it's very, because I do at the core, man, I really do believe that human beings are explorers by nature.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, of course, the next logical step in our race is, or our whatever you want to say that we, in, you know, inhabit, is to get out into space and to explore. And we're just living in such a weird time, too, because we already know it's possible. We've seen the vehicles in the sky. We know that, you know, some very intriguing things are happening in that realm. And it's just like, who can break that code? You know, who can do it first? And, you know, I think that, you know, not to get off too far off the beaten path, but I think that is one of the conundrums humans face, modern humans face, is just how we're going to do that. And can we do it in a humane way, you know, enlightened being way, you know?
Yeah, that's another. Yeah, of course, that's another discussion, you know, for, you know, for.
We could go on for hours.
For another philosophical discussion.
Yeah. That, but you know what the event I want to talk about?
What's that?
I want to talk about the events that happened in Australia that put such a wild story in our lap. Am I right?
Dude. Man. Okay. So we, you know, often here on the podcast, we talk to psychics. We talk to people who experience hauntings and ghosts. We talk to people who have UFO experiences and encounters with cryptids every once in a while, you know, and we every once in a while we'll get some true crime, some really strange true crime type stories.
Yes.
And this is one that is wild. I mean, Barry, I can honestly say that if Weirdsville out there, listeners, if you want to, you can make this a particular episode an interactive episode. And you can make a drinking game and take a drink every time that Barry says, holy shit, because there are many times, because this story is just full of twists and turns and loop-de-loops, and it is wild. It is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, the title of this episode is, you know, My Life is a Bad Soap Opera. It, you know, buckle down. Buckle in, strap down, whatever it is you gotta do to prepare yourself.
Yeah, this is a doozy, man.
Woo! Yeah, a wild ride, a roller coaster indeed. Without further ado, man, and without trying to hype it up too much, again, you know, not trying to.
Really. It's worthy of it.
But so joining us from Australia, the great land down under, is Margot. Margot, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Okay, so in 2013, my partner, we'd been together for a couple of years and we both had some children from previous relationships. So we were both separated. Neither of us were divorced at this point. And our son was born 10 weeks premature.
Wow.
So this is where it starts to get a bit interesting. So he was in the hospital. He had a few issues with his breathing, and we brought him home at 5 weeks and 4 days old. So he was still 4.5 weeks until he was due to be born.
Wow.
2 weeks after that, on Friday, the 5th of July, 2013, we received a phone call from my partner's ex-wife telling us that she just arrived back to her home and her fiancé was dead in bed. He was hard, he was cold, and there was holes in his head.
Whoa.
Yes. Wow. So, goosebumps.
Whoa.
So that, now remember, I still have this tiny, tiny little baby.
Yeah.
And she says to us, you need to go and pick the kids up from school. Like, you have to go get the other kids.
Yeah.
So we jumped in the car and we went and got them from school. So we didn't hear anything from her for a couple of days, nothing, no contact after that. But we did have on the Sunday morning, so 2 days later, we had detectives and child protective services show up on our doorstep at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Damn.
So that was crazy.
Yeah.
And basically they were there because they wanted to find out where my husband, Bo, had been on the day in question because they, as they told us, after they'd interviewed Melissa, and I am allowed to mention the names because it's all really public. It's all okay. Like a lot of this stuff that I'm sharing with you is background and wouldn't be known, but the names and everything are obviously public information. So Melissa had indicated that Beau was a jealous ex-partner and that he potentially had some involvement in what had happened. So we had to then attend the police station on the Monday to give detailed interviews and produce the children there to do interviews as well. And at the end of that day, so that was a full day on the Monday, they took us outside, pulled us aside and said to my husband, or now husband, not at the time, and they said to us, look, we can't tell you who has done this, but we know who has done it. We cannot assure your safety. We need you to take the children and disappear until we've made an arrest.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
And then, yeah, holy shit. And again, I have this tiny little baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still not even due to be born for another couple of weeks. And I'm so I'm still like in that kind of post pregnancy kind of hormonal and freaking out. And then they also said to us on one last thing, and we never said this, but would you please put some recording software on your phones and make sure any conversations that come through from the children's mother is recorded? And so obviously, we're like, what the fuck? Like, obviously she's involved in some way. Like, this is insane.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And then they said to us, oh, and I wouldn't go back to our house if I were you.
What?
We've now got my kids from my previous relationship. We've got Beau's kids from his previous relationship and the baby. And we're like, where do we go? What do we do? So I've called my father, who used to be a policeman in the New South Wales. Oh, actually, no, that's not quite right. So I was driving the car home and I asked my husband to call my father and speak to him because he was a policeman for 30-odd years in the New South Wales Police Force. So I said, look, please call Dad and just see if we can go there. Like, I don't know what's going on. So anyway, Beau grabs my phone and he dials, and he's dialed the wrong number. So he's told this entire story to my boss.
Oh, no.
Which was
and
good.
And then he's realized.
You know, because, you know, you're telling the boss that you're not going to be coming into work. At the same time.
And he thought we were insane. Like, he's like, what are you talking about? Like, this is insane. Like, are you making this up? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, Beau, why did you call him? And he said, well, I called Jeff. And I said, why would I have my dad saved in my phone by his name? His dad.
That's such a guy move. Oh, that's such a guy move. Wow.
Oh, man.
So anyway, we called my family, and my mum, who's probably just as nervous a person as what I am, like on the news, so there's, I don't know how much you know about criminal investigations, but we've since found out quite a lot. And there's some really interesting things that the police do in conjunction with the journalists.
Yeah.
When they're investigating.
Sure.
So when they, because they already knew from the Friday afternoon who'd committed this crime, but they needed to get all of the evidence.
Yeah.
They went public with the story that they were told by the person who committed the crime, and we're going to get there.
Okay.
That he was involved with bikies. So it was either my husband in a jealous rage, which they knew that wasn't the case, or bikies. So they went on to the news and they said, we believe that this is bikie involvement.
So bikies, so we're on, for our listeners, are like bikers, like Hell's Angels or something like
that. Yes, yeah,
like, just making sure, because you know, I mean, that's people probably could have figured that out, but we'll go ahead and do them the favor.
Yeah, sorry, us Australians, we'd like to shorten everything.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Our slang is just as confusing too. So
it is. Yeah.
Amazing. I can't wait to get over there one day. Actually.
Yeah.
So anyway, we now got the phone on speaker and we're talking to my parents. And my dad's like, look, you always overreact. I'm sure you're just panicking. I can hear my mum in the background going, they said it was bikies. If it's bikies, I love you, but you're not coming to my house.
Wow. Wow. I suppose that is a concern, but like, it's your daughter too, and kids. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow!
So anyway, Dad's went. Give me this detective's name and number because I'm sure you've misunderstood what he said to you. Like you've blown it out of proportion. You've misunderstood. Let me give him a call. So, hangs up. Not even 5 minutes go by, and we get a phone call back from my dad, and he's like, "Yeah, you better just come here." Okay, so we had some friends go to our house and grab just some basic clothes and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But because we also had the little baby who he wasn't able to feed on his own still, so the hospital loaned us everything we needed so that I could express and bottle feed him.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're doing this all out of the back of our car.
Wow.
Jeez. And so to parents' house and we're talking to my dad that night and, like, you know, everything's just kind of crazy and we don't really know what's going on. He's like, look, I've spoke to the detectives. I can't really tell you anything either. So they've had that, you know, kind of police-to-police talk. But
yeah.
Because he's very ethical, he wouldn't tell us anything either. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not privy to anything that happened in that conversation. So basically for the next 7 weeks, we lived out of the back of our car.
Holy shit.
With a previous driving. And how many kids?
So luckily me and my ex-husband get along really well. So I was able to call him and he ended up taking our children.
That's good.
Okay.
And I guess also at that point, we also didn't know really what was going on.
Yeah.
Or how safe any of us were.
Sure.
So anyway, he took those kids. So we had the three kids with us, the baby and those two daughters. So there was a few other weird things, and if you remember, I said the police had asked us to record phone calls.
Yeah.
Right.
So I actually had a phone call with Melissa, and I've always been pretty blunt with her because she was always pretty difficult to deal with. And one of the things that happened on the day that the murder happened was she actually drove after work straight past the daycare. So imagine she works, the house is at one spot, she works 40 kilometers away from there,
mm-hmm.
and yet the daycare is literally in the middle on the way home.
Mm.
So she drove to the house but didn't stop to pick the children up.
Wow.
When she got to the house, she entered and found the partner. And I had said to her, well, that's super suspicious.
For sure.
Yeah.
That, I'm like, why would you do that? And she said to me on this call, and I had to appear and testify to this in court, and they played the recording, she actually said to me, I know, it's just so strange. I always pick the kids up on the way home. But for some reason that day I just decided to go home first.
Wow. I mean, that's a possibility, but I give that about a 3% chance being a totally innocent thing, from this particular situation.
Yeah.
We're mums. We're busy. Like, why be like efficient?
Yeah.
You pick those kids up, you get home, you get dinner, you're not going back and forward. But anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. And then while we were roaming freely for this 7 weeks, living out of the back of our Toyota Grandis, staying in, you know, random motels when we could. Now, Bo worked for his family business, so luckily they gave us one of their business cards and were just like, do what you need to do, because we were not financially able to support ourselves at this point. And they do online sales. So like most companies, that little bit at the beginning of the phone call that comes up and says all our phone calls are recorded.
Yeah.
So one of those brothers is a tech genius. So he was homeschooled, but the things he can do with a computer, crazy. So he calls us and he says, you're not going to believe this, but Melissa has just called me on the work line, on the recorded work line, and asked me if there's any way to get into an Apple iPhone if you don't have the PIN number or access code.
Wow.
So that was also obviously sent. Yeah, so by now
that doesn't look good.
We're like,
No.
It's not, at this point, it's not looking good at all.
Yeah.
So at this point, we're like, look, she's clearly involved. We didn't know the extent of the involvement. And then one night, we're just chilling. And watching telly, and the thing comes up across the bottom. You know, the rolling.
Yeah, scrolling thing.
Breaking news.
Yeah, the creeper, right?
And then they did this piece. Yeah, something like that. And they did this piece, just a little segment on a guy that they had found a car and they'd found the weapon and they traced it to a guy who was currently in hospital, awaiting a heart transplant.
Whoa.
Yeah. We're just like, what? This is really strange.
Yeah.
So it's just getting weirder and weirder. And we're like, okay, so how does this all link up? A couple more weeks and on TV again comes up. An arrest has been made in the murder of Sam Doty. His fiance has been charged with murder, and there she is being taken in handcuffs.
Whoa.
For his murder.
Wow.
So she had a secret lover. The guy that was in the hospital waiting the heart transplant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they had, I guess, well, they had colluded to murder him. So he was a very wealthy businessman.
Yeah.
And we actually found out that Melissa had met him while she was working in a brothel.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. Now, how long ago is this? Is this current? Like at the time? Like
2 years earlier.
Okay.
So she'd met him, and that was how they met.
Okay.
So, because when her and my partner separated, both of them were just normal, you know, not very well off, just at your average, you know, 9 to 5, week to week kind of people. And within a couple of months when she'd started dating, or just before that, she bought a brand new black Mercedes with personalized plates. She was Gucci, Prada, everything. So we knew something was going on, and it came out that she had met him and he was very wealthy. So where it started to get a little bit even weirder is it turns out that he was buying really cheap land up in the areas of Australia that no one really wants to live in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a whole group of them, a lawyer involved, a Queensland barrister, a high profile cricket player who was like spruiking the thing. They had their own accountant, their own loan officers, and then they'd go to other areas. So Australia's really spread out, right?
Yeah.
So they're selling land out the back of the Gold Coast, the land no one wants to live on,
mm-hmm.
but they're selling it to people who are looking at retiring who live in Adelaide or Western Australia, who don't really know the area.
Right.
And then they're selling it for higher than what it's worth.
Mm.
Right.
And because they've got their own little crew, like they're going, oh, I know a good lawyer. He can do all your paperwork. Oh, I know a good, like, loan person.
Yeah.
They can get your loan through. And But they were all one group. So while it's not technically illegal, it's really unethical.
Yeah. Right.
So Sam was being sued by three of our major four banks. So he had transferred everything he owned into Melissa's name.
Oh, man. God, this is
This is crazy.
This is like,
A bad daytime soap opera?
Yes.
Or a good one. I would eat that up.
But it's not even that. Yeah, it's like a soap opera.
Wow.
I always say to people, have you seen the movie Gone Girl?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what it felt like. And when I watched that movie, the personality.
Yeah.
It's scary. Like, scary, scary.
Holy shit, man.
So he had went to this brothel specifically seeking a girl that he could pass off as the director of this company and move everything out of his name.
Wow.
So they weren't even in a relationship. They were in
a business agreement.
Well, no, they were in a relationship.
Eventually, it turned into that,
but
right?
But they were each person was playing the other one.
Oh, my
and
God.
And neither of them realized.
Holy shit.
So she let everything be transferred into her name, and then her actual lover, who she was keeping secret and hidden in the background, had, planned to kill him, and they got to, in their heads, they were thinking they get to keep everything because when it was all transferred, he was of sound mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole if it's done when someone's of sound mind and all of that, then it's done legitimately, and which it was. So because he was being sued by the banks, he could no longer be a director of a company working in real estate. So he had to find somebody else to put on the books. So she was the patsy almost.
Yeah. She was the name on it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man, but she pulled a reverse double whammy.
Holy shit,
correct,
dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, now they've both been arrested. He's awaiting a heart transplant because he'd been using steroids. Like he was a gym.
Oh boy.
Buff gym guy.
Oh my God.
So the steroids had affected his heart.
Wow.
So he had agreed to do this for her because he loved her. He genuinely loved her and he thought he was going to die. So he was like, okay, I can help you.
Yeah, set you
and
up
you'll
for life.
Keep everything.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be here. Like, I'm actually dying.
Yeah.
But the police, while he was in custody, because he pled guilty straight up.
Okay.
And she pled not guilty.
Okay.
Right.
And the police knew she was involved and they were not going to stop until they got her
yeah.
for it. They paid, so our Australian tax dollars paid for him to have a $1 million heart transplant.
Whoa.
They pushed him to the top of the transplant list.
Wow. Whoa.
So that they could keep him alive to testify.
Holy wow. shit.
Now, imagine you've lost someone and you have it. You went, yep, okay, I want to donate the organs. I'm going to do this to help someone out. And then you find out it's...
a guy that killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Then another twist.
Holy shit, man. Hold on a second. I got to... let me digest this here. Holy shit,
this
man.
This is not to digest.
This is
do
wild.
Do we need to do a recap there?
The spider web is amazing. Okay.
Let's do this. It all started with you and your now husband and partner had a preemie, and then was it the day you brought them home, or was it just shortly after?
Two weeks after
you bring the preemie home, still preemie at this point. I mean, you get a call that your partner's ex-wife's current partner found him stiff and with holes in his head. What kind of holes? Was it like gunshots or was he beaten?
Okay, so disclaimer here. Remember, we don't have access to weapons in Australia.
Right,
so
yeah.
I apologize to your listeners for when I royally screw this up. It was a shotgun.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that does a lot of damage.
10 shots to
the
head.
Holy shit, man.
And I have been told it was the type that needs to be reloaded between each shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Single
10 shots single from a shotgun.
Yeah. Single shot. There's not much
holy
left of the
shit.
Guy. There was
well, that's what I have a friend who was in the army, and he was a weapons instructor in the army, and I spoke to him about it, and he said he would not have had a head left. Yeah,
no, not at all.
No. Holy shit, that's brutal, man. No wonder she didn't want the kids to see that.
Yeah, well.
Correct.
Yeah, but still, even.
The kids had lived with him in the house.
Yeah.
So we'd been doing shared care of these children for 2 years. So they had a relationship with him as their stepfather.
Yeah.
And they loved him.
Yeah. Wow.
They only ever spoke really lovely
God
about him.
Bless America.
So
then you're on the road, you're on the run, you're laying low because they're not telling you, but you know that she's involved somehow.
Yeah.
And they're not telling you what they're saying. And then they're going, but she tried to finger your husband.
Yes.
And Bo, right? And then, or bikers / bikies. So it's either your ex who obviously wasn't because he was with you, I'm sure, all that time, or with the taking care of the other kids. Yep. So it couldn't have been him. And the police probably figured that out really quickly.
Well, and he's up there, so she wasn't aware we'd had the baby early.
Oh, you ruined her plans.
We did.
Wow.
So the police got to our house, and they're like, oh, you're on paternity leave. You've been at the hospital every day.
Yeah.
And that's why they were like,
Wow.
Okay, so now we're on the road, and you see on the little creeper ticker thing on the bottom that they found the weapon. It's to this guy, and this guy he's in the hospital waiting for a heart transplant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so then they arrest him, and when did they arrest her? I guess after him?
After him. Yeah, okay. So it was 7 weeks.
After him or after the whole ordeal? Wow. Okay, so then...
After her... Did you say after her arrest? Is that what you said?
No, so it was 7 weeks in total from from the shooting
got it.
To when she was arrested.
Gotcha.
And he flips. He goes in and he flips immediately. And then they said, well, we're going to give you that brand new heart so that you can testify, basically.
Well, no, he didn't flip.
Oh, he didn't flip.
No. So he pled guilty and said, I did
okay.
it.
Oh, okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. so they wanted him to testify against her.
Right.
And he, in exchange, they would keep him alive till her court hearing, which was not going to be in, you know, they take ages. So it was going to be 3 years. And they knew he'd die before then.
Right.
So they did the heart transplant. And then once he got the heart, he refused to testify against her.
Wow.
Oh,
whoa,
man! I guess that's
wow. Well,
that's the risk you take.
Yeah,
whenever you're.
Yeah,
you know. That's I mean, it. Obviously, he's not necessarily a man of honor. You know, for wow.
Damn.
So, and just to add a little more insult to injury, when we saw that bit come up, and they had someone that they had in custody, a guy with a heart transplant, they actually showed the car that was involved. So they'd impounded the car, you know, to do DNA forensics, all of that.
Yep.
Bo instantly recognized the car. So I believe it was a blue Ford Falcon.
Oh, wow.
And he said, that's Adam's car.
Oh, wow.
So he had been friends with Adam when he was still married to Melissa.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Mm.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Was there a love triangle, or did he know nothing about their actual physical relationship?
Well, no, there was a love triangle. So my husband, like, he was homeschooled, so he never went to school in his entire life, to any regular school. Very Christian family, no secular music, no television.
Yeah.
He met Melissa at youth group. They got married when they were 18. Very, very young.
Yeah.
And he is the most gentle guy I've ever met. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I'll poke him, go, I want a coffee. And he'll get out of bed without
good man.
Complaint and make me a coffee.
That's
great
man. That's a good husband.
Now, Adam actually had threatened him, and Bo, after him and Melissa had separated, because Melissa had said Bo was violent and had been beating her and needed to escape the relationship. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't speak for what happened in their relationship.
Yeah.
But I've been with Bo for over 12 years. We've been married for 9 now. If anyone was going to be doing any beating up on anyone, it'd be the opposite way around.
Right.
He's a pussycat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and people don't generally change that much.
Absolutely.
So Bo had actually had an AVO, apprehended violence order.
Okay.
Okay.
So you'd probably have something similar in the States.
Yes.
Against Adam.
Yeah.
When, after their separation. So they had been friends. Then after Bo and Melissa separated, it became very clear that Adam and her had a very different relationship because he'd threatened Bo. But he did recognize the car.
Wow.
Also, further on in the investigation, and we did know about this earlier, they tried to kill Sam 3 months earlier, and this is where they really tried to set Bo up to make it look like the disgruntled ex. So they Melissa was in the house with the children that she shared with Sam, the house she shared with Sam, not the children. And he had got home from work, pulled up in the driveway, and he was bashed at his front door by a man with a crowbar.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
So this was 3 months before the murder.
Wow.
Now, the children have told me that they remember laying in bed because the hard wooden door was over and it was open and the fly screen door was closed. So they could hear the assault occurring from their bedroom.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Melissa was laying in bed with them and telling them, it's all okay, everything's okay, it'll all be over soon.
Oh, my God.
And that is what they testified in court.
Oh, my God.
Now, an off-duty nurse was jogging in the street and came across it, and the assailant fled. Wow. Dropping a crowbar in the garden as he took off. Specific kind, exactly the same as the one that Bo still owns today.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Correct. Luckily, my husband is a hoarder. So.
Yeah.
But they bought the wrong color. They got the right brand, but they got the wrong color.
Wow. Wow.
And obviously, Bo being the hoarder that he is, he was able to quickly find it and show the police.
No, shit,
I've still got my crowbar.
Holy shit, man. Now, I got to... Up until this point, it didn't strike me that how deeply involved your husband is in this. This must have been a nightmare for him.
He handled it better than I did.
Lee, I can't... Just to find out the depths that somebody went to try to, you know, get him involved in this thing and have all that going on and you have no idea, no clue.
We had no idea. And, you know, a lot of people, when it all happened, a lot of people were like, well, what did he do? He must, like, what did Sam do to her? A woman doesn't commit that kind of crime. And you see that a lot where a woman has committed a murder, but you don't see it in the reverse.
Yeah, true. Yes.
That drives me nuts, first of all.
Yeah.
And then the media and the comments about, well, has anyone looked at the children's father?
Right. Yeah.
And that was overwhelming because I'm like, well, I'm looking at him. He's sitting right here next to me. We're looking after our baby. Like, he's not involved.
Yeah.
But it was a bit of a witch hunt at the time.
Well, it's a good thing the police department had your back, it sounds like, fairly early on.
Yeah.
And that's a big win. They did. Yeah, that's a big win.
The police department did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Services and the family law courts, they did not.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sure.
But Sam had said in his statement following the bashing that the guy who was bashing him had said, Melissa's family sent me to do this.
Damn.
So my question is, why not leave at that point?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and even for her, if there was violence in the relationship, as she claimed, he'd been away on a business trip for 3 days prior to the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And
she
could have left. And also she definitely could have left because the police found, I cannot remember if it was $10,000 or $20,000 cash in her handbag.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
So she had the means to leave.
Yeah.
And remember, everything was in her name. He'd signed everything over to her.
Right.
Jeez.
So
Yeah, what was the impetus of doing, I mean, I guess just to put an end to it.
I guess we'll never really know.
Yeah.
It seems like she had it all. She had it all there. And they were not married at this point.
No, they were engaged.
She was engaged
to Sam.
Right.
Yeah, but she still was not divorced from my husband.
Right. Okay. So, because obviously this plan was cooking for a while, and it seems like if he wasn't in hot water being sued by those banks, then he wouldn't have putting everything over her. Whereas if that hadn't happened, they would have gotten married, and then of course not long after that, there would be the same thing would probably have happened after, you know, because then it would be, oh, everything from the husband would go to the wife. So she,
that's and I just, do wonder if maybe they were worried about forensic accountants coming in.
Yeah.
Maybe right. Melissa had concerns that forensic accountants would come in
for sure
and actually go, well, no, she, none of this, because we didn't know where the money came from.
Yeah.
Like me and Bo were, Bo was on facing bankruptcy following their divorce, their separation.
Wow.
So, they, a forensic accountant would have looked at it and been like, well, this money, where did it come from?
Right. Yeah. Those
and it probably would have been returned to Sam's. Because he also had two children from a previous marriage.
Wow.
Okay, so did we get to where she was arrested? Did we get to that far yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so she's now been arrested. And the trial happened 3 years later.
Okay.
And I'm happy to tell you that she was convicted.
Fantastic.
She was found guilty by a jury.
Great.
She was sentenced to the longest, one of the longest sentences ever given to a female in Queensland, a life sentence with no possibility of parole for a minimum of 25 years.
Wow.
So we have a pretty lenient justice system. And I mentioned earlier that the police really supported us, but the family law courts didn't.
Yeah.
In that time, because to move from the area because we wanted to protect the children's identities.
Yeah.
We wanted to give them a fresh start. She actually took us to family law court from the prison. She has been granted 50% parental responsibility, which means that any decisions about the children.
Oh, my God.
What?
We have to run by her.
What?
We are not allowed to live more than 2 hours from any prison that she resides in.
Oh, my God.
So if they move her, then technically, according to the court orders, they could force us to sell and have to relocate.
That is insane.
Absolutely absurd.
She's allowed to have our home address.
Wow.
She, like, and remember, we've got four other children in the household.
Yeah.
But, so they did nothing to protect me or my husband or the other children in the household. But when we were going to move, we actually wanted to move to a small island in the Pacific. We bought a little resort over there. My ex-husband was supportive. We'd spent $100,000 to try and get it done. We were moving over there, and my husband was arrested by the federal police for kidnapping at the airport.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. How long?
So those charges were dropped, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Because we had to return. And so we returned, and then so we lost all of that money that we'd worked so hard to save. So we're now stuck in the same small town where half the guys probably knew her from the brothel.
That just blows my mind as an American. That wouldn't happen. I mean, you know, that seems
you never know, dude. I mean,
that seems very for the circumstances that she killed someone. She was framing your husband, and that is a whole other layer of evil. And
correct.
And for her to be allowed to have 50-50 say in what the kids do, and you can't.
And we have, but we on the paperwork have 100% financial responsibility.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So it's your financial responsibility while she sits in prison, but she gets to come in and have her little say about what you do with the kids. That is insane.
Her crimes, did any of that come up during the hearings for the children?
Well, yes, but it was very difficult because it was between when she was arrested and when she was convicted.
Can you
the police tried to support us.
Yeah.
But they couldn't give away any information that would impact the trial against her. So they couldn't actually say, yes, we believe she's a danger or anything like that. So without them being able to actually just come in and say, no, she shouldn't be, they kept saying, we believe that she should not contact.
Yeah.
But then the judge would say, well, why? And they would say, well, look, we can't actually answer that because it's part of an ongoing investigation.
Can you go back? Can you
take? We could, but we've spent so much money now.
Yeah.
And the children are almost adults now.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm counting down. I have 2 years until I can move.
There you go. Now, how are the kids?
Well, one is now in year 12, which is our final year of schooling here. And she took out ducks at her primary school. Do you have ducks? Like, top of her school.
Okay. Valedictorian.
Valedictorian.
Yeah.
And so she is hoping to go into law or become a prosecutor for the Department of Department of Public Prosecutions.
I find
that really interesting.
Yeah, is she a firecracker? Is she spunky?
Oh, she's the older one. She's a little bit quieter, but she's smart. She's really smart.
Yeah.
The younger one's a firecracker.
The smart, quiet girls are who scare me.
Yes. Yeah, well.
They intimidate me.
We've now raised 6 kids.
Yep.
2 are now adults and have moved out, and then we've got 1 in year 12, so she'll move off to uni next year. We've got 2 in their second last year of high school, and we've got our son who is now in his second last year of primary school.
How is he?
Oh, he's perfect. Yeah, he grew up and grew out.
good.
That's what you want.
Yes,
he likes it. Likes a good cheeseburger.
Who doesn't?
I know the kids are all amazing. Actually,
that's awesome.
Really, really resilient. Really smart. We've never had any major issues.
That says a lot about you as parents.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. To come out of a situation like this where you know they absorbed some of that. They knew what was going on and it
they did.
You know, that's amazing.
We've never hidden, like we've always been really open with our kids if they have questions. Like obviously we've always kind of done it age appropriately.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we just felt like given what they'd already been through, so initially they lose their stepfather who they love. Then 7 weeks later, they find out it's their mum. Then they find out that their mum's going to be in prison until they're in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
So Bo and I, we've probably given up a lot of opportunities of our own to be able to focus on, just giving them that stability, I guess.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. People say to me,
good on you, man.
Why are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're doing what you had to do. And this is such a riveting story. It is.
Yeah.
Have they done documentary stories on this? Because it seems like this. I feel in the back of my head that this is somewhere in my documentary watching.
This should be at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
They did a very short piece.
Okay.
Just after the court verdict was done.
Okay.
And it was an episode about Black Widow women.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So it was only a 15-minute piece, but I've just recently started a TikTok.
Okay.
Where I'm doing a series on it.
Oh my
god!
Because
there's even more. There's more background even before that.
Yeah.
What we were dealing with when we were doing the child custody that really shows a lot about the personality and what she was trying to do.
Sure.
And then even past that, and you know, I said before about her having this access to the children, and domestic violence doesn't discriminate. I know more women are victims, but and I know the cases that I've followed where the woman is the victim, the male parent I don't know of any situation where the male has been not only given access to the children, but enforced action by a court. I don't know of a single case.
Yeah.
So that's all. That's been a really big thing for me to deal with.
Yeah, we have that in common with our justice system here. It's very lean toward female, which you know, understandably so, you know, but at the same time, it should be a case by case basis. We mm-hmm. should dig into these stories. We should find out what's going on because we are different animals and we operate differently. And women are very good with massaging the truth about things and manipulation and those things that guys just, some guys do that, but when it's done by a pro, you know, and it's done in this vein. It's rough.
And this was violent. Yeah. Like, I mean, one shot would have been enough. This was like an intense level of violence.
Yeah.
So I think that when she is eligible for parole, I think I'll probably go and find some very, very remote, unidentifiable location.
You should.
Yeah.
You should also, you know, get with a writer, with an agent, and get it turned into a TV series or a movie or a docuseries. And, you know, hey, make some money.
If you've got any tips, Adam, if you've got any tips,
man,
or any connections, point them my way. Because, like, as I said, I started a TikTok literally a week ago and I'm just about to hit 1,000 followers
awesome.
In a week.
Okay, awesome.
Well, what's the name of the TikTok? Yeah.
I'll have to look that up for you.
Okay, yeah.
Right. I'm very new to it. I'm not very good at it. So okay. I do apologize hey, to everyone good. Out there, but I'm getting better.
I don't know anything about the TikToks. Barry was going to make one for our show, and that was his New Year's resolution.
Too much of a learning curve.
2 years ago. 2 years ago. And it's,
I'll get there.
So it's at My Life is a Bad Soap Opera.
Nice.
Okay. Great.
Yes.
Damn, man. Yeah, we'll
make sure we put that out there.
Wow.
This is like, I gotta say, this has gotta be one of the top stories we've had on here, man. Like personal stories that like, this is like a roller coaster, man.
Absolutely, man.
You can't make this shit up. Like this is, you know,
and this is only half of it, guys. I've kind of condensed it. Like how she refused to sign divorce papers. She found out the date that we were planning to get married and then sent her in prison 18 months. Who remembers a date that long?
Oh my god. So
and that's, you know, and there's so much more to this story, but you guys wouldn't have time for it.
It's amazing. It's wow, because it's a life.
Yeah, this is,
you know,
yeah,
this is day-to-day, like, yeah.
Damn. Well, this started in 2011, and we were having issues from 2011. And the court proceedings for the child custody and the stuff she did during that before she committed any of these crimes is a whole nother story
in
itself.
Holy shit, man.
And then the murder in 2013 and then the events of that, but up until 2016, but then the events and the things that she's done since then from prison. They all in their own. So,
Wow, man.
This has been one of the wildest, definitely one of the wildest true crime ones that we've ever had. Yeah,
for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
You deserve, accolades for surviving it.
Yeah, no kidding.
And keeping your families together. Yeah,
amazing.
Well, I must admit. I do have some pretty good anxiety tablets these days, so that helps.
Well, you know,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, hey,
understandably.
Better
living through pharmaceuticals, man. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
And I have people say to me all the time, how do you do it? Like, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, what is the alternative? What is the alternative we have? We get up every day. We do what we can, and, you know, some days are better than others. Some days I don't get up, and I'll stay in bed and watch TV, and that's okay because
as long as, absolutely.
as long as at the end of the day the kids get home and I have the energy then to get up, get their dinner done, do their homework with yep. them, you know, and I take on a lot of them. They come home and do the blah of all of their stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm their emotional support That's system, awesome. Which means that it's draining for me.
For sure.
Yep.
But I love it and I love all the kids. And
well, that, you know, yeah, that's like, that's just parenting, you know, like that. And you're going to miss it when they're gone. And I'm saying that because I'm recently, you know, we all the kids are out into the world. And so last couple of years we've been home by ourselves and it's like, I miss the hustle and the bustle and something's always going on. And it's great when a kid can grow up in a situation with parents that love them and are there for them to vent mm-hmm. or to laugh or to cry. Hopefully that's the world we're trying to build here. And you're a shining example of that. And this has been an amazing talk.
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed talking to you both.
Yeah, let's do this again. We have to do this
absolutely.
Again.
Yeah, for sure.
Holy smokes.
Have a look at my TikTok. I'll take you through all the stuff beforehand because like I said, that's a bit all in itself. Barry, I too have my eldest got married last year. So he's 26.
Wow.
And then my eldest daughter, she moved out about a month ago.
Oh.
And she's just went to uni. So I'm feeling that. And then the next one goes to uni at the end of this year. So this house is getting very quiet.
I know.
Oh man, I have cats. That's all
I can say. You're used to a quiet house. Oh man. Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
Our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh. How do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's what's dash your spelled Y-E-R dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. God dang, dude. Man.
Yeah. I mean,
we need a breather here. Just everybody take a deep breath. Slowly. Margo. Amazing.
Margo, thank you for sharing that because I mean, it is, it's, I don't even think it's a bad soap opera. I think that's an incredible true crime docuseries, man. That's a Netflix series. That's so big wild.
Big time. Somebody has to do that story. That is just the twists and turns and the levity of everything. It was like, just when you turn the corner and you think you got it figured out, there's another wrinkle. And that's why I kept having to go back and have her. I'm like, okay, let's catch up to where we're at so I can make sure that all this fits, you know. Just wow.
And the characters in it are, you know, it's like a Coen Brothers movie, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, absolutely, Margo, yes.
And her husband homeschooled and just the nicest guy on the earth, and they're preemie baby that they have to go on the lamb with.
Yeah, wow.
You know, and then the ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife who turned into be a sex worker at a brothel.
Yes.
Who, and her secret lover, the steroid using bodybuilder who was you know, his heart was breaking literally down.
Yes,
you
know, yes. He had oh, my God.
Heart replacement.
Yes.
The, unfortunately, the murdered man who was, you know, who was rich and, you know, signed up all the things over to the woman, you know, and bikies, you know, and her dad being a, you know, ex-cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, just like, I mean, just.
Yeah.
What, yeah.
What a tangled spider web of it's you talk about a weird reality. That is unique reality unto herself, and you know her everyday life changed in a flash. And
yeah, dude.
You know, and the fact that her husband got roped into that, it's just like
the ex-wife. Trying to point the finger at him.
Yes.
You know, and where it couldn't have been. And it was just by, you know, the grace of God or fate or what have you, that it was impossible because he was home taking care of his premature child and the other children that he had with her.
Yes. Yes. And
his partner, Margot's kids as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Wow. That has got to be in the top five stories that we've had in this last 5.5-6 years. It's just been like, you know, and that's what I mean. Like, you know, and people come on and they tell these stories, and to them, their reality is it's their reality, and their story may not be weird to them, but to anybody else is an odd story and a story you couldn't even make up. I don't think you could write that story.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just no way, because truth is stranger than fiction.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, and I hate, you know, I hate ranking our guest stories and stuff, but that is, again, one of the top stories.
I mean, every week we have on great stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this was one where you and I were like, when we were done, we were like, oh my God, what did we just hear? You know, like, there has to be a movie or a series made. I hope she's able to write a book about this. Like, people need to know this, and it's such an intriguing, intriguing story. And we want to hear your intriguing stories. We want you to come on. She reached out to us through Facebook. She got a hold of us. You know, Adam and I both go into these things not knowing a ton about what's happening, and then you get a story like this, and your story is that story. Your story is as compelling as anybody else's.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does, you know, I mean, obviously not everybody's going to have a crazy story like that with Margot, you know, and who is, you know, again, Margot, the most normal, regular person. You know, just completely normal mom, you know, with kids and everything. And that happens to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and her family and everything. So, you know, I mean, just, you know, everybody's got a story.
Yep.
We say it.
Yep.
It's at the beginning every week.
Yep.
We say it. We believe it. We know it. We know it to be true.
Yep.
And yeah, we do want to hear your stories, and you can get a hold of us through Facebook, and you can get a hold of us through formerly known as Twitter X. You know, we're not there very often, but you can contact us through there. And we're now on Threads.
Yep.
So, which is the new Twitter-like thing from Facebook/Instagram.
Okay.
We're on that.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I accidentally joined it for us.
Hey,
so, you know, hey, you can get a hold of us there. And Instagram, you can find us. That's where we're most active. But, yeah, contact us through any of those. Follow us on all of those just so you can be updated and you can have that link to us directly. Follow us on your podcast provider of choice, wherever you're listening to us. Follow us there so that you always have our new episodes every Tuesday waiting for you. You don't have to hunt them down. They'll just right there in your queue. And, you know, rank us, give us some a grade, give us a, you know, some remarks or whatever, you know, accolades.
Yes.
We appreciate that. You know, drop us a note in, you know, an email through one of those systems or through our website, www.whatyourweirdstory.com, or through our Gmail, wywspod@gmail.com. And, you know, we want to hear from you. We, you know, whatever your is, we want to hear how many times Barry said, holy shit, and you drank this episode.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If you wake up tomorrow morning with a massive hangover, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, send us that count or, and I know I said it a few times as well, but I was just, you know, going through and for the editing, I just started laughing because, like, man, there's a lot. Yeah. You know, but, you know, just send us your thoughts. Send us a hi, hello. Send us, you know, I was going to say send us some pictures of yourself, but that kind of sounds I mean, you do what you want to do.
Sure,
send us
what you want to do. Absolutely. It's a free country. Absolutely.
You know, you're
reading those emails and checking those messages.
Yeah, they go to me. So, I mean, I'm, you know, I don't have to deal with having a wife to
absolutely
try to explain anything to, but I'm not asking anyone to do anything else like that. I'm just saying whatever you want to send us.
Absolutely.
It is what it is.
Absolutely. We'll deal with it.
Yeah. One way or the other, you know, and if that's part of your weird story, because we actually have had people send us photographs and things like, what do you think this is?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a doctor, but no, you know, this is my mutant talent is to just say something that is just so close to being, you know, incredibly terrible or rude or sounds much worse than it meant to be.
Well, be careful what you wish for. That's all I got to say. I've heard, you know.
anyway, contact us as you will, and share your stories. Come on and share your stories and schedule an interview session with us, or just write out your story and send it along, and we can have one of our special readers read it. Dude, we're getting so close to our 300th
amazing
episode.
Amazing.
Isn't that wild?
It's wild. That is.
So if you want to send us like a voicemail, you can do that. 513-909-9821. You can call us and leave us a message there, or, you know, you can leave us, you know, happy 300, or you can in comments, you can leave us a voicemail comment there. Like, you can come on and say, oh, I really enjoyed this episode. Or you can come on and be like, Barry said, holy shit, 47 times or whatever, you know. However many.
We'll take it all.
Take it all, you know, and just, you know, email us, get a hold of us, be our friends, be our community. I was trying to say something, make sure I didn't come out and say anything really awkward and weird there as well. Weirdsville, we love you. You're awesome. We appreciate your support. And we appreciate everyone who shares their stories or shares the podcast or, you know, just is listening and tunes in every week and doesn't tell anybody like there's something to be ashamed of. But there's not. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Absolutely.
Enjoy what you enjoy. Tell the world about it. Let your freak flag fly. And join us next week for another episode here on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I've been Adam Beebe. Over there has been Barry Johnston.
I hope you're not too drunk.
All right. Be safe.
Be weird.
Call an Uber if you're going anywhere, because good Lord. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.